I don't know if you get excited, but I've got excited about that wonderful concept of God wanting the nations to come to know and worship him. But just before I was coming out this morning, I read again these words. Someone said, you can't call out to the nations, be glad, until you yourself say, I rejoice in the Lord. And this morning, in our usual brief moment of time, I've got kind of a number of things to try and do. One is, above all, to sense the presence of God and see what he's saying amongst us. But in taking that phrase, that to let the nations be glad, and remembering that we're in the season of Epiphany and God's great desire to bring the nations to know himself, a suggestion was made at the end of last year to Nick that it would be good if the various activities of the church could maybe have a spot sometimes to explain them. So we're going to deal a little bit with how Massa fits into the life of the church, and all this within the 20 minutes. So we're going to break it up into two sections, but the main thing is to see what God is saying to us. Yes, let the nations be glad. And when we say that, we know the state of the nations is a bit dire. Of course, we're more aware of it because compared with the people of Bible times, we have all the things of the media to bring it before us, in not just when it's happened, but whilst it's happening. But the state of the nations when Jesus was born was in one sense equally dire. There was battles, there was mayhem, there was horrible things that people were doing to one another. Where Jesus was born, there was a military occupation. And we've been looking at the scripture to understand something about that. So it wasn't an ideal situation. And certainly when the psalmist penned those words, it wasn't ideal. And the great desire in it is all that the people would become to be glad because of their knowledge of the Lord who was with them, and wish to change those circumstances. That was God's passion. As we've been going through the Old Testament, God's choice of a people, but not in a sense because they were special as a race of people, but because he had a special purpose for them. And so the angels that came to the shepherds said, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. And then, of course, there was Simeon, wasn't it, who had that great phrase when he saw the babe Jesus, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And God placed a star in the sky to bring people of another country, another race, another religion to recognize and worship Jesus, the King of Kings. And when they saw the star, the old version reads, and they were glad. They were glad. Can you remember when you first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe it was so long ago, thinking of my own history, that we're in danger of losing the gladness of it, the joy of knowing the Lord. But this was always God's plan, going back to Abraham's time, when God called Abraham and said, through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Offspring in the singular, speaking of Jesus, offspring in the plural, the people of God, that in those days and now the people of God, through us, the whole of the world, all the nations would be made glad. And of course, there are signs of that through the story of the Old Testament. Some of them we've seen in the people who are part of the genealogy of Jesus. They include the foreigners, Rahab and Ruth, amongst others. And even when we looked at the period when God's people, out of their sin, were taken into exile, Isaiah, writing by the word of the movement of the Spirit into that situation in the future, promised them that there would be a light that would come into the world. And we know that was Jesus. And as it says in Isaiah 60, nations will come to your light. And that's precisely what happened when the wise men from another nation, or maybe even nations, came to the light. And then, of course, there was Jesus and the wonderful stories of Jesus we've had in the Gospels, and how when he'd done everything, and just before he was about to ascend into heaven and entrust his church then and now with the glorious task of taking that message, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. And the word, I've got any Greek scholars here, is ethne, from which we get ethnic. Not just the people, one sort of people live in the nations, but how many ethnic groups live in our nation? And God, Jesus said, go and make disciples of everyone. That's how they're going to be glad to come and know the Lord. What a wonderful vision. Remember when Jesus spoke that words, it even included those pagan peoples that lived in that sort of Roman province of Britannia in the East Anglia as we know it. You know, that included us when he said those words. But where to start? Jesus said, we read this in Luke 24, that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem, where they were at that time. And for you and for me, we ourselves, it's where we live and where we work. And going back to our series on our front lines, wherever we are, our task there is to be followers of Jesus, to be lights in dark situations, and to bring a message that can bring gladness to people, whatever their situation. That's individually, but as a church, you'll notice in when you read through the New Testament, there's a lot of emphasis in Paul writing to churches. Yes, there are individuals, but there's a concept of the church that Jesus founded. And Jerusalem was one place where Peter and others preached the gospel, and many, many were saved right from the very beginning. And then, of course, it happens because although they were saved, they were born again, whatever phrase, they were people like you and me, a church like this, of different kinds, of different, you know, experiences and traditions and backgrounds and ethnic groups, because they came from many different nations, problems arose. There was the problem of the distribution of food to the widows. Now, this was possibly an early experience of, we could say, persecution. Because if the widows, they were the most desperate in that society, they would find help at the synagogue, the local synagogue. But of course, if they came to follow Jesus, they would have been ostracized by the authorities at the synagogue. So they tackled this problem, you might say, social care that was provided by the church from the beginning. Our Jerusalem is here in Ipswich, and we want to witness for people to be saved. Let's, you know, take no bones about that. You know, this phrase which is sometimes we fall away from. Jesus said, you must be born again. Let us not be shy about that. For people to come to know the love of God fully, they need to be saved, to come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. But we also reach out to them in love. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. He also said, love your neighbor. And we seek to do that within the life of the church here in all sorts of ways. And we have the joy of being able to work in with other Christians here in this town, our Jerusalem of Ipswich, to show the love of God in different ways. And I hope Phil's here. Is Phil here this morning? Phil, please come on. And you're going to tell us something about how we can have a wider understanding of the ways in which the people of God are working to share that love. Thank you.
Okay. I sort of knew that. Didn't know how much you wanted me to say. So I have found myself chairing this sort of movement called Heart for Ipswich, which has been going for quite a few years, and it sort of encapsulates churches working together and Christians working together. And through that network, people have created lots of different projects that we don't do as Heart for Ipswich, but we encourage that networking and facilitate that communication. So anything from, you know, a big thing you might have heard of, like town pastors, or you know, lots of Talitha Coombe, things like that have come out of those people talking with one another, to lots of little small projects as well. There's a lot that's going on. You might have seen the EG magazine that we produced recently that tells a lot of the stories about different projects that are going on. If you haven't, come and see me. I can give you a copy. But one of the things that we do each year is, at the start of the year, is organise something called Crown Hymn, and I spoke very briefly about it last week. And it's an opportunity just for Christians from across the church in Ipswich, and outside if they want to come in, I suppose, to just gather together. And it might be to celebrate what God has done in your life, or in the life of the church that you're in, or in the life of the church in Ipswich. It might be to come personally and actually say, Well, God, thank you for just scraping me through 2015, and I look forward to moving forward with you in 2016. So it's personal, but it's also joint together. It's also about stories. So we will have, it's here in St Matthew's next Saturday from 7 o'clock. We've got over 20 plus exhibitions of different projects that are going on in the town, which will all be around the edge, and you can come at 7 and talk to them and see what they're doing. And from 7:30, we're having a bit like a chat show type sort of format. So a couple of sofas here, band around the side, we sort of some upbeat worship led by Diz and a group from different churches, different worship leaders. Toby and Anna from our church are the hosts. Having met with them on Thursday, well, that could be interesting. And it's going to be, they're going to be doing short interviews with lots of different projects, be interviews with individual people and hearing about their stories and how God has touched their lives. We've got a musician coming in from Stowmarket or somewhere who's going to perform as well. There'll be prayer led through some videos of people videoed around Ipswich praying for different things. It's going to be a good evening. I'd encourage you to come along and enjoy yourself. And so from 7 o'clock. The main event starts from 7:30 to 9:30. The exhibition goes on till 10 o'clock. Is that okay?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Bill.
So there are many things that we have to celebrate as Christians, and we want to share the ways in which together we can meet the needs of others. But 20, and that's just some of the activities. So how on earth do we as a church know what to support in all of that? Not just in the sense of showing an interest. Individually, we may have to make that decision. You know, the number of letters that come through the post, don't they, from different charities, Christian charities, and we're bombarded with them. How on earth do you decide? And a church seeks to do that. That's why we have the group in this church called the Mission and Social Action Group. It's a bit of a misnomer because social action by Christians is part of its mission. But I think it's to help us understand there are aspects which focus on the social concern and others which may be the more direct preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the word of God. And it's been the decision of this church, like many others, to aim to give at least 10% of all the offerings of God's people to ministry beyond that immediate ministry of the church, both here in this country and overseas. The balance we seek to make more for overseas because there are far more resources in this country than there are in other places. So that was the church's decision. And part of the task of the MASA group is to prayerfully consider all the various requests that come in and prayerfully make suggestions to the PCC or the DCC of that which we will support. And I think we should have a slide showing. Have we got a slide? I've got a slide showing the ones that we support. These are the ones that we support directly in giving and prayer. CYM amongst the youth in the town. UCCF, which is working amongst university and college students. Inspire, the counselling centre, and the Perspectives. Now, these are ones which financially we regularly give to. But there are others like FIND, for example, which we do more in kind, and others. But in other words, this is as a church saying, Lord, there is so much need and we want to be part of it. As a church, how can we associate with those that you want to lay on our hearts? And that's why and how, in a sense, we've arrived at this aspect of how we, like the church from the very beginning, shows its love and concern, not just to its own members, but those outside in the world. So in a sense, we represent good news for people. To be glad because there is a God who cares and that are his people who show that is he a God who cares. We celebrate that good news because it's good news not just for the soul but for the mind and for the body too. So Jesus said, beginning at Jerusalem, but it was only a beginning. And when you read the Acts of the Apostles, in comparatively a short space of time, not many decades do we read that the church spread from Judea, from Jerusalem to Judea, north to Samaria, then another country, Syria, then another country, Turkey, then another country, Greece, then another country, Italy, and so on. But how on earth did that happen? Because they were in Jerusalem. And they would have had the temptation, I think we all do, and saying, well, you know, until we've done all that we can here in Ipswich, we can't really think about anywhere else. And I think they had the same problem, because it took a bit of persecution to push them out of Jerusalem, and they went into Judea and Samaria. Read the Acts of the Apostles. It's quite amusing, really, not for them, because they were persecuted, but how God pushed them out. And as they went out and they established churches, most of them we know about through Paul, but there are other churches that were established that we don't know about exactly who founded them, but they were there. And Paul's letters to some of these churches reveals the links that there were between those different churches that were founded in different places and different nations. And there, one of the things that comes through is how, in a sense, there was this fellowship, the partnership in sharing this gospel. As the Sunday school last week were learning about Paul, and God's team needs people who, and they worked, and we can see in the Acts of the Apostles how God's team of people throughout these different nations worked together to bring the gospel of God's love to many people. And one thing you see in the New Testament is, in fact, again, it was organized. We look briefly at in Jerusalem how they organized the relief for the people there. And there came this great famine in Judea later on, probably again because of persecution. And Paul encourages the churches in another country, in Greece particularly, and other places too, to raise funds to bring aid to their brothers and sisters in Christ in this another nation. He speaks about partnering in sharing the good news with other nations. Not just, if you like, in the famine relief, but in the support of God's people. And that church, one of the churches, particularly in Greece as we know it, was supporting Paul in prayer and in gifts and in many other ways. Here was a church in Philippi in Greece that was supporting a missionary, if you like, who came from Turkey, sent out by the church in Syria to bring the good news of Jesus to many other nations. That is Paul. So this idea of, we use the term missionary or mission partner, is nothing new. And therefore we look to the New Testament, particularly for understanding of how we apply that in our support of other people today. And this is another. I'm looking to the vision man, please, slides. This is, again, a work of MASA with all the mission. Now, many of us here support all kinds of mission endeavors in different parts of the world as individuals. But again, the challenge is, as Paul wrote to churches to bring support, how do we as a church decide on who we're going to give meaningful support to? And this, again, MASA takes all the understanding and prays about it and brings suggestions to the DCC who make these decisions. And one of the groups that we oversee is Open Doors, whose task is to serve the persecuted Christians worldwide. It's interesting. The home groups which start this week, it could be some of them, will be looking at the book of Esther. Esther's a strange book because God isn't mentioned. That's intriguing. Read it. It's not very long. But it's this story of the people of God who were in Persia following on the exile. Many of them stayed there. And somebody worked to get the king to pass a decree that all the Jews should be annihilated. Nothing new, is there, in history? That was the plan. And Esther was a brave lady who put her own life on the line to work to bring that to an end. And we have in the headlines today, even then I think it was some of us were discussing a big issue. Interesting, they had an article in the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I think the present one, is about the threat that Christians could be annihilated from the Middle East. So again, nothing new. And Open Doors is a particular calling, a mission agency that supports Christians who are persecuted, not just in the Middle East. For example, our representative here is George from Nigeria. I think George may still be in Nigeria on a visit. But do you know that more people were killed by extremists in Nigeria than have been killed, Christians killed in the Middle East? And Open Doors help us to, in a sense, be there with them. We're all moved emotionally, you know. And I know when we were showing pictures of the tents there in the snow, and it moved Toby to try and run a marathon for them. It was good, it was in his heart, it's not in his legs. But anyway, you know, we're moved, how can we? And so our link with Open Doors enables us to do that. And then, of course, there is the link that we have with other parts of the Anglican Church. The next one, please, which is the Diocese of Kagera in Tanzania. And the bishop there, you'll see, Bishop Aaron, and of course our representative, not just of the church, but of the diocese, is Jean, who I think is somewhere. You look at her picture and look for, oh, there's Jean over there. And she'll tell you more about that. And it's a thrilling story, so that we partner as a diocese, and therefore we are part of it, with a diocese, a developing diocese in a developing part of the world. And we need to remember them. And let's remember, for example, the other African areas. The last Sunday in this month, we had the Archbishop, not the Archbishop, the Archbishop of Rwanda will come and preach here. He is here this week, along with all the other archbishops in the Anglican Communion, for a major conference, because of the tensions and pressures there are. Already I've heard that there are those in England who are saying things that frankly reflect rather a colonial attitude to churches from other places than the so-called developed West. So this link with an actual diocese in our own diocese with our plans is something which is firm, and so that's another group. But the next picture will show that we also have been supporting for a number of years Michael Green, who comes from Suffolk, and he is a nurse by training, and he has gone to the Middle East, and for a number of years has been working in Jordan, most recently in Nafraq, in Jordan, not only as a nurse, obviously, but with the constraints there are in that strongly Muslim country, witnessing by his life for the Lord Jesus. And so we support him through CMS. But God works in mysterious ways, and God has been speaking to Michael, and Nick's going to explain it.
It's all very exciting. Well, I think it is too. So I've got some exciting news to share with you. It's not public, but I've got to share it today for a reason. Michael, as John has said, the CMS missionary we've supported, has felt very much called back to this country to work with Muslim and Kurdish speakers. CMS have talked with Michael, and he was offered some placement in Manchester, in Birmingham, Streatham, in London. But Michael feels called to Ipswich, which is exciting news, I think, for us in a very multicultural society in which we live. He firmly believes God wants him here. And I've discussed with Burlington and Elam Ipswich International Church, Ipswich Community Church. I'm in the process of putting together a job description, which I'll share with them and with Michael before it goes back to CMS, because they need to talk with Michael's other supporting sponsoring churches from around the country who might not want to sponsor him in Ipswich, which they might have done in Jordan. So it all has to be done properly. But the big problem we have, and I share this with you for your prayer, for your consideration, it's not a problem, but it's a hurdle we have to get over, is that at the moment, all the flats, the rooms in the Fletcher Centre are spoken for. So initially, and it won't be this next month, but quite soon in this new year, Michael will hope to come to Ipswich. As his line manager, I think, I can't house him. So I'm looking for somebody who might be able to, at least on a short-term basis, house Michael when he comes to work, yes, in Northwest Ipswich, which is our patch, but also, I guess, with the refugees coming to our town. He'll work with Paul, Jean's husband, who is looking after the refugees situation from the bishop's point of view. Lots of exciting opportunities. But for your prayers, please, or if you're desperate to come to me after church today and say, I've got a room, then please do speak to me or prayerfully consider it. Exciting news.
So, yes, we have people who, one could say, like Paul, really, were sent out from their, not only their own country, but by sending churches to work in another place, a different country. And that's proceeded through history. And God in the past called Michael to do that. He called Paul and Jean to go to Africa, called Barbara and me to go to South America, and to go and be, if you like, mission partners. In other words, partnering with the people there and certainly needing the partnership and the support of people in this country. And I think I speak for all of us who've been in that situation, that the support of the people of God was absolutely essential. But also what we're discovering over the years, that many of the ministries that those of us who've gone were having, we were being shown that increasingly, even in developing situations, maybe more, we needed to build up people from the local nation itself. And for Paul and Jean, of course, it was in Africa. For Barbara and myself, it was in an area of Latin America. And I suppose over the 12 years I was there, if I reflect on anything I was able to do that bore fruit, that which was the most important of it all was encouraging emerging leaders. And so, beginning with the mission agency that I was with, South America one, now part of CMS, there's been developed this program that they call Timothy Partners. In other words, recognizing not local vicars and people like that whose responsibility is of the local church, however poor otherwise it is, but those, in a sense, who have particular ministries. So we, for a number of years, have supported René Pereira, who has been working in northern Argentina, helping young people and others. Now, for internal financial reasons to do with Argentina, I won't go into the politics, René can no longer work in that way. And so MASA has been working with CMS to see what they might recommend. And there has been the bishop, the Brazilian bishop in Rio de Janeiro, much in the news it will be, of course, this year with the Olympics, has asked us, through CMS, whether we would support, with a measure of finance, but prayer and encouragement. Certainly, well, he is a leader already in the church there. Can we have the next picture? Alexandre Teixeira. I call him Alex for short. So we'll talk about Alex. You've all been given a leaflet, hopefully, and if you haven't, take one home with you about him, and there's a display over there. And because he's involved in leadership, but involved in many other things, involved in music and therapy through music. He's been involved in counseling, youth work, and he is a lay leader there, and he's preparing for ordination. And the bishop there has said, this is someone we would love churches in the United Kingdom to somehow partner with him. Now, this has just happened, so I can't give you a lot of information. But in other words, these are examples of how a group like MASA works to try and help the whole Church of St. Matthew's have meaningful fellowship and partnership in the gospel, that all the nations will be glad to come to know the Lord and his amazing love. And I was just remembering as Nick was talking there, because the person responsible for Michael overall was Tanas, our friend Tanas. And when he says, with all the mayhem that is his homeland of Palestine, Israel, that the answer is Jesus, it's not a trite sort of thing to say, but the real heart belief that it only through Jesus that there will become peace in that nation. And so for the nations to be glad, whether it's Middle East or Africa, or whether it's Ipswich, or whether it's Rio de Janeiro, it is through the message of Jesus. And again, we turn to the New Testament for understanding of what it means to be in partnership. Again, I love that phrase I checked with the Sunday school beforehand, that this working with God in, what is it, what it said? God's team needs people who, and we've got to fill in the who. Now, there isn't time, but hopefully on next week's notice sheet, I'll put this. We could have the next slide. Please, that shows Alex with his lovely wife Paloma and their baby girl and the alpha van that they were used with. Next slide, please. Now, this one is something really, it's a serious sermon series, but I show you. How do we do it? If you look at the letter of Paul to the Philippians, it's a wonderful example of a close relationship between someone who was sent out and those who support him. The church in Philippi. He wrote it from prison, and where he wrote those wonderful words, rejoice in the Lord. So again, it doesn't come out of a nice, comfortable situation. First of all, he was thankful for their partnership in the gospel. And it is partnership. It's not all from us to them. How much more we benefit. I don't know, as one who gets material from Open Doors and tries to pray for that situation, how I've been blessed by the faith of the people there who rejoice in the Lord in the midst of the bombs and the killing, and they blessed me so much. And it's always a two-way thing. So we're thankful for the partnership of the gospel. Prayer is essential. He wrote to the Philippians, I know that through your prayers and the hope, help of the Holy Spirit, this will happen. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the prayers of God's people. He wrote to the Corinthians and said this, you also must pray for us. Not an if, you must. And on the table over there are some examples of prayer information. And if you want to take it to get an idea what the different mission agencies do, there's one from CYM and there's one from Latin America. So prayer is a must. And the final thing is encouragement. He was encouraged so much by knowing that these Christians in Philippi were concerned for him. And he wrote, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. When Barbara and I were out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you had to wait for the monthly delivery of mail or something like that. Now with emails and so many things, we can encourage people in so many ways. So how can we make this partnership real? Thanking God for that gospel, rejoicing in it. By praying for those that God lays on your heart. By giving, yes, because giving was also part of it. He wrote to the Philippians and said, no one else would send him money in his ministry but them. And because they sent that money, he was able to be released from doing, if you like, his day job, to give himself totally to the gospel when he was free. So these wonderful ways, thankfulness for the gospel, praying for these people, giving for these people in their ministry, and encouraging them in many ways. Now this is all part of this thrill of the gospel of Jesus. There are a lot of tears, there's a lot of pain in it, a lot of sadness, a lot of exasperation, a lot of anger when you're involved with people in terrible situations. But the heart of it is, Paul says from prison in his suffering, rejoice in the Lord. And then the Lord's vision and passion for the nations of the world. And when you come to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you see there the fulfillment of this mission in which we all share, to bring this glad news to the nations. Could we have those verses from the book of Revelation? I don't know if you can read those well enough. And I'm going to ask before we pray if we could say these together, because it's the culmination of the passion of the Lord that the nations should come to know him. So it's not just human passion, but it's the passion of the Lord for the peoples. And here is the culmination of that vision the Lord wants to impart to us. Could I invite you, if you feel able, to stand, and we will say these words together, and then Peter will lead us in prayer. And let us read together. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to his Lamb. Amen.